Let's pray together. Lord, I pray that your word to us would refresh our hearts, would give us fresh joy in you, even as it asks much of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in the early 2000s, the area around my parents' house at Smith Mountain Lake was experiencing a lot of growth, at least, you know, for kind of their rural area. And one of the primary marinas, relatively close to their house, there was a developer who decided to build two large 12-story apartments, like right on the water, right next to the main bridge as you go by on the lake. Big for that area, you know, to have those two large apartment complexes. Big project, and they got the foundation dug, they poured the concrete, and the housing recession of 2008 set in. And 17 years later, one large complex is still a concrete slab with rebar sticking out and grass growing on top. Something people drive by all the time on the bridge or on their boats looking at. And Jesus wants us to know that life with him, being his disciple, following him, having salvation, walking in the way of Jesus, whatever way we want to talk about this Christian thing, is more like a building project than a one-time election. It's more like a building project than a one-time election campaign, at least. It's possible to start, to get started, and to not finish, at least from our side of things, to see it from that way. Christianity is not like the lifetime subscription to the Stanton Newtown Neighborhood Association that I just paid $20 to and am now a lifelong member. It's not a pay your dues once and you're good to go. It's not a one-time prayer. It's a whole life commitment. He wants us, all of us, with all of him forever. Jesus isn't looking for our vote because he's already voted in. He's the one person elected in resurrection, indestructible, new life, Lord of heaven and earth. He already has all authority in heaven and earth. He is not rallying crowds to get a majority. He is remaking the cosmos. Jesus is building a whole new creation, and he intends for his people to be stones and pillars built into that new creation upon his foundation. The work of new creation is not casual crowds. It is not punching a ticket to get to heaven through a sinner's prayer, although we are sinners and we do need to pray. One commentator I was reading on this had said this, that I thought it was worth saying in terms of kind of the direct punch for our context. Jesus is not inviting us to an ice cream social. Now, that doesn't mean that Jesus can't use an ice cream social, or that if we're going to throw an ice cream social, it shouldn't be a good one. This isn't either to cheapen the power of weak faith to cry out for the mercy of God in our dying breath, that weak faith is enough to bring a whole new creation into it with it. But this, the difference that Jesus is trying to show us really has to do with him and who he is and what he's doing. Jesus is not looking to gather a casual crowd of people once a week to ascribe to some religious practice or moral principles. Jesus is bringing new creation into the earth, and he wants to start with you and me. my architect wife tells me that there are three kind of factors in building things: cost, time, and quality. And in their industry, you have to pick two, because you can't have all three. So you can have cheap and fast, low quality. You can have, you can have quality and speed or expedience, and that is going to cost you everything. In God's economy, the way that he's bringing new creation grace into our lives, Jesus wants nothing less than the highest quality possible to last through death and into eternity. And he's paid the highest cost possible. And he's actually not in a rush. One day is 1,000 years to him, and 1,000 years is a day. And he's inviting us into that kind of cost, to renounce everything. That's what he says. Jesus won't want our vote. He does not want our casual attendance now and again. He wants us, our very selves, with him for all eternity, an indestructible new creation life. And so we're considering a few minutes today what it costs us. What does it mean to be a part of this building project? What does it mean to be a living stone and a pillar in the house of God built on the foundation of Christ? In our text, if you're following along in Luke 14, you can open your Bibles or open your worship guide. Our text has three conditions, two stories, and one result. Three conditions, two stories, one result. 3-2-1 sermon here. And so we begin in this crowd. Perhaps this is like a peak hype moment for Jesus. And he's not a hype guy. Jesus isn't really a hype person, at least not in the way that we want him to do. The seats in the stadium are filled, but Jesus is doing a hard heart check on why we're all there. And this casual crowd is ready to back him, ready to back him if he proves to give them what they want. They're ready to go to the mat for Jesus if he's going to give them what they want. But he is trying to orient them on what he is giving them and what it costs. Three condition statements. If anyone does not hate, if anyone does not bear their own cross and come to me, if anyone does not renounce all they have, those are three conditions. I tend to think that the last one, renounce all, is this like encompassing statement where he's just kind of like, you know what? It's everything. Renounce everything. Hate all family relations, even your own to yourself. Hate your own life. Bear your cross. You know what? Let's just call it everything. Renounce it all. Three conditions. Then he has these two stories. One's a building project story that's like the Smith Mountain Lake unfinished building project, which kind of makes sense for our context. The other is a battle context, which we really can't understand because risk is like the primary way that we understand, you know, battle and strategy. So we're not even going to talk about it. Truly, it's like no one. There's very few of us that understand what battle really means and costs. If we don't meet these three conditions, Jesus has one result. You cannot be my disciple. Yeah. The Christian faith thing can be one of those projects that we pick up in the course of life that we just don't get around to finishing. If we think that it's a one-time vote. If we think that Jesus is just the person to get us what we want. If we think that it doesn't cost us. Excuse me. So, but let's kind of step back a little bit and orient ourselves. What does Jesus mean by hate, bear, and renounce? Sounds very unlike Jesus to say such things. When Jesus says hate, he does not mean be mean. It's often what we associate the word hate. I'm mean to that person. They're mean to me. That's not what Jesus means. When Jesus says hate, he is speaking rhetorically and comparatively. Rhetorically and comparatively. He's not contradicting the second commandment, maybe to say it simply. He is emphasizing the first commandment, that it's actually first. We are to love our neighbors as ourselves, which includes our closest neighbors, our families, and ourselves. That is in there. But God alone, God only, God singularly, God most, God highest, is the one that we love with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength, all of the time. Jesus is stating clearly a first love devotion, and wildly enough, he is pointing it to himself. Jesus' traditional context, the family, in that context, the family was supreme. We still get some of that. I'm sure it's definitely not in the same way in Jesus' day, but we still have some of that in our more kind of traditional conservative circles, where our family is supreme, where it takes precedence over everything else in our lives. And we would add, maybe for our day, something like our careers. We often will, blood, sweat, and tears to gain a job and to remain in it. And Jesus is saying, I want your blood, sweat, and tears so you gain me and remain in me. We often put travel in this place, and really for kind of our day and age, it's really experience. We're kind of like an experience-hungry culture overall, and so we'll sacrifice to have different experiences in our lives. We idolize. That's what we're talking about here. That's what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about idols in the world. We idolize unique callings, unique contributions, unique experiences, or those family relations above all others. And Jesus is saying, by comparison, in terms of our priorities, in terms of our allegiance, in terms of what all of those things are meant to take their rightful place around, that he has first, he is the priority, he is the precedence. Jesus is not looking for contributions. He's looking for commitments. I got that from, I was over at our sister friend church, Anglican Church of the Valley, this morning, and the institution of the new vicar there, Father Jed Trenum. And so I want to give credit where credit is due because Bishop Warren, who was preaching, on a different text, but he's still talking about commitment. He's talking about this costliness, this sacrificial discipleship that Jesus calls us to. And he started talking about the difference between contribution and commitment. That Jesus is asking us not for a contribution. He doesn't need us to contribute. He wants us. All of us. And the analogy that Bishop Warren used was one of those like preacher ones where it was too good to not bring in. He said, the difference between contribution and commitment is like the difference between the chicken and the pig at your eggs and bacon breakfast. Sit with that for a second. It's so memorable. It was really good. I was like, that's a really good preacher analogy. The difference between your eggs and your bacon for the chicken and the pig. The chicken contributed. The pig was committed all the way. The pig had to lay it all on the altar and say, my life is forfeit. I belong to your breakfast dish. Really good. I've been thinking about it all day. It's so easy to think that the Christian thing, that the Jesus thing, is about paying our dues and then we're done. Jesus has already paid everything. And he's saying, I want you in on the party. But you've got to give up the old life. This is where our second condition comes in terms of bearing our cross. This is where giving up means losing. It means suffering. It means sacrificing. Bearing our cross and following Jesus. It's a clear contradiction of the cheap crowd kind of prosperity gospel that we're all thinking about most of the time, really. Where we think Jesus is just going to get us what we want if we kind of put him first, but really we're putting him there so we can get the thing behind him that we're hoping for in the end. That's often how we work in our hearts. And he's saying, no. There's suffering, there's loss, there's sacrifice. Things don't pan out. You already have your portion. And it's way better than anything else you'll get anywhere else. In our Philemon reading, the Apostle Paul, as I talked about at the beginning of the service, the Apostle Paul is asking for a costly love on behalf of Onesimus. So this bondservant of Philemon who ran away and ended up in prison and meets Paul and gets converted, and Paul is sending him back to Philemon. And Paul is imploring him. He's asking him with all the love of God to say, this is a new man. Welcome him as a brother. It is radically costly, really, for both Philemon and Onesimus. It is upturning social norms and statuses, value systems. It is very costly. It might cost them their jobs, but they'll have Christ and they'll have each other. And the Lord will provide. Jesus is not here, did not come to gather crowds. He's not looking for casual Sunday attendance now and again. He does not want our vote. He's not looking for culture warriors. He wants us, all of us, for all eternity, with all of him forever. Hate own life, so prioritizing Christ above all things, even ourselves and how we conceive of ourselves. Bear our own cross, suffer, lose, renounce all. This is such an unkosher thing, but be like the pig. That is so unkosher. Jesus probably would, Be like the sacrifice, right? So this is Romans 12 we're talking about here. Offer your bodies, offer your very selves as living sacrifices in light of God's mercy, in light of God's unending mercy towards you in Christ. Jesus has given us a finished work. And when we build our lives on him, him taking priority, him being the one we're willing to suffer for, then he will finish the good work that he's begun in us. So he takes precedence over all of our relationships, all of our career pursuits, all possessions, finance, over all our wayward thoughts and feelings that contradict his life and teaching. Everything, everything gets put on the table. Christianity is not a spectator sport, is not a casual attendance to religious practice or morality. It is our very selves laid on the sacrifice of Christ's very self. Now, this can come off and feel sometimes like a boot camp Christianity, right? You know, like do the hard discipleship thing, don't do the cheap grace thing, do the costly thing. Jesus is not an angry drill sergeant. Jesus is a jealous bridegroom king. The most parallel relationship to what we're talking about here that God gives us is marriage. He's talking about covenant relationship. What it is for someone else to have priority and precedence in your life. And Jesus is saying, I am inviting you to the wedding feast. So when Paul talks about Christian marriage in Ephesians 5, and he quotes Genesis, the beginning of the Bible, and it talks about leaving father and mother, cleaving to one another, becoming one flesh, Paul then says he's talking about Christ and his church. He's referring to Christ and his church. With all that he is, with all that he has, Christ has honored his bride. And the Christian message is a wedding invitation where Christ has pledged himself. He's made all the preparations, all the mercy of God, all the love of God, all the power of God for our good for all eternity. And if we're going to enter that party, if we're going to participate in it, we have to go into the party. We have to leave behind our old life, our old self, come into the house of God through Christ. It means renouncing our claim on everything, letting him change and transform us as we lay it all on the table. And so what aspects of family life, whatever that might look like for us, or home life, need to take their rightful place around Christ? What aspects of our careers, our callings in the world? It's not that Jesus doesn't want us to have family or to not have careers. He just wants them to all be immersed and baptized and filled in him so we go and do his will out in the world. What relationships do we need to offer on the table? What pieces of our character, our personality, our identity that are not being grounded in Christ need to be brought into the love of God in Christ? Are we prayerfully offering our finances to him and his mission in the earth? Do our emotions and our fixations reveal that we love our kids, our hobbies, our careers, our comforts, our self-soothings more than Christ? In whatever way the Holy Spirit is working in our hearts right now to bring something up, he's saying, yeah, just bring that. Just bring that. Bring your whole self and whatever you're offering. Jesus has already hated his life. He has already borne the cross. He has already renounced everything to gain you forever. And he wants you to be with him. He wants to finish the good work that he's begun. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this open door invitation to life with you. Would you help us to open our hands? Would you help us to pull out the things that we hide behind our backs as if you can't see it? Would you help us to know the freedom of having you as the good portion that cannot be taken from us? Do you help us to give up the old mindset of thinking that we've paid our dues, that we've done enough, that we don't need to prioritize you anymore? Or maybe we've never had the thought of prioritizing you above everything else. Would you help us? Would you strengthen us to offer our lives truly to you as you have offered your life to us and for us? Lord, we love you. We thank you that you call us into your family to do this together, to cheer each other on, to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.